On either side of me, I have all sorts of things. I've grabbed entirely at random two of them. This one is peanut butter. This is some soup. I suspect that many of you did what I did this week. I was out shopping, and right next to the thing I was going to buy already was something else that the food bank wanted. And I picked up a couple, and I put them in my basket. And as I said earlier, they're still sitting on my counter, but they will come to church so they can go to the food bank later this week. And on one level, they are items like peanut butter and soup. There's pasta and pasta sauce, and I'm seeing applesauce. There's a whole range of things up here. And I know many of you took home the list that went in the email newsletter and in the bulletin last week and took that into consideration when you were picking things up. And at some level, what we have brought here are, you know, soups and peanut butters and pastas and sauces. But on another level, what we have bought here is some portion of our life and labor. I can buy peanut butter for the food bank. So that's what I bought, although it's still on my counter. You'll have to trust me. Because I go to work, and in our society, that means I get to earn a set amount of money. It's what the church and society have valued the work I do as. And with that money, I get to make decisions about how I spend it, how much we cook, how much we eat out. Well, my husband and I, but where we live, what kind of cars we'll drive, and what we can give away. And it is easy to think about this just being food that someone else needs, and I have the space to give a little bit and let them have better food and more food, which is true and important. But I want us to invite, us to think about this as, you know, some portion of someone's life that they spent away from their family at work. And maybe they were lucky enough to enjoy their work and had a family that worked fairly well without them there. And for some people, that is true. But for some people, going to work is a sacrifice they make so that their family can eat and so that strangers can eat. So what we have up here is soup and peanut butter and pasta, but it is also a sacrifice. Some of them may be a little smaller, and some of them may be a little bigger. But it is a sacrifice of labor and of time. So our sacrifices that are decisions made by families and individuals, because we have decided that what Jesus asks us to do is important. That part of what Jesus asks us to do is, in fact, make sure that people have enough to eat. And that that is worth some amount of sacrifice on our part. So thank you. In a little bit, when we get to the Eucharistic prayer, right before it, we do the prayers over the gifts. And since I have been here, we leave the offering plates on the altar. And if the altar were a little bit bigger, I would be tempted to try and squeeze all of the food you have brought this morning onto the altar too. Because these are all things we are giving to God as God is found in our neighbors. Amen. It's always interesting to come to the readings every week and see what they will stir up, both because I have to preach on them, some weeks I have to preach on them, but also because as my life has been increasingly about coming to the Bible every week, trying to figure out what God is calling us to, you get all of these memories layered in. Memories of the last time you preached on something. Memories that you can almost forget are connected to these. In Corinthians, Paul writes, God loves a cheerful giver, which is true. But somewhere in the back of my mind, I have an image, a memory. And I don't know if it is a story someone has told me or if it is something I saw. But it is of a parent helping their child sort out how they will take care of their money, which is a good and hard task that parents should take up. But the parent was making some decision about how money was given away that the child did not like. And what was quoted to the child was just that snippet there. God loves a cheerful giver. But in my head, and again, it's a fuzzy memory, so I'm not quite sure how accurate this is. But in my head, how it is said is more, well, God loves a cheerful giver, with this expectation that the act of giving should make us happy. Now, we are mostly adults, and we mostly know that the act of giving can, in fact, make us very happy. But that is largely because we give out of the larger context that passage in Corinthians is written. If you go back just like half a verse, because God loves a cheerful giver is the end of that statement. Paul begins it differently. He says, each of you must give as you have made up your mind, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. Paul is driving at the truth that you all know. There are times when we are not giving reluctantly or under compulsion, as Paul says. When we are giving out of joy and love, and the knowledge that the person receiving it has need or will take joy in what we are giving, that it is a cheerful and joyful thing to give. And therefore, the giver becomes cheerful, and God loves that. Sometimes, not always, but sometimes that giving is undergirded by what the writer in Deuteronomy is talking about. If you want something entertaining, it's worth going home and picking up your Bible and reading this section of Deuteronomy and then read the next verse. Because this section is all fun and a remember that you have because God has given to you and you are to give back to God for what you have received. The next verse gives it a slightly different tone, and clearly the lectionary writers wanted to focus on one part of this message, which is remember that you have nothing of your own right. Everything you have comes from God. It can be easy for us to forget that, to remember that we have gone to work and we have worked hard. We have gotten our paychecks, we have our position in society because we worked hard, because we did. That is true. And to forget that there are people who have worked as hard or harder than we have and who have less. That what we have collectively is a gift from God for humans. And that the Christian response to economics to how resources and wealth is dispersed, is always to ask, does everyone have enough first?
It's too muzzy.
It's too muzzy.
It'd be better if you didn't have your...
It won't be better if I didn't have it, because I cannot project loud enough this morning.
Can you go to the lectern?
No, because then I'll get feedback. Sorry. If I turn it off, you can also not hear me, though. Okay, we'll go with this. The Christian approach to economics is always to ask first, does everyone have enough? Does everyone have somewhere safe to live, enough food, enough things that they can be happy and healthy? We know that we do not live in a world where everyone has enough. If we did, none of these gifts and sacrifices of food, of our time and labor would have been necessary. But we brought them anyways. We brought them because we knew that those who do not have enough, those who have less than we do, even knowing that we've worked hard for what we have and there are times when it would be nice if we had more, that those who have less than we do are also God's beloved children. We have done this, to use theological language, because we believe in the kingdom of God, where everyone has enough. And this is one thing we can do to help recognize that the kingdom of God is work that we are undertaking. It may seem small, but look around you. Look at the people sitting in the pews with you or next to you. And trust me when I tell you, for some of us, even this was beyond our means. And for some of us, bringing anything today was a great sacrifice. And that we have done anything is a remarkable miracle. And that the work of bringing the kingdom of God does not begin or end with us. It begins and ends in the love of God. A love which does not care how much or how little we have, how well or how poorly we have used it, but a love that is always prompting us to look around and to see those next to us, not as competitors, but as fellow children of God, to whom everything we have might, in fact, belong, as you have already done today. Well done. Amen.